Welcome back, everybody, to the Good Old Hockey Podcast. This is episode number 56 in the 208 for me and Alan. Episode 56. I've got a cool-ass Sharks jersey on. It's a Will Smith jersey, if you can't see it. Right off of NHLShop.com. It's the good old Cali Finn logo. I also have a Celebrini jersey I just got, but Alan made a good point. We'll get the Shark talk kind of out of the way in the beginning. There's a couple games. They're playing right now, actually, as we're recording this on Monday.
They are.
But basically, the Sharks have been embarrassing, to say the least, the last couple weeks. However, as long as Celebrini and Smith are getting some action, and Eklund, as long as our young stars are getting some action, I'm okay. We know what we are.
Smith's been scoring, too.
He has, yeah. We know what kind of team we are. Points. We are not some retirement home team that's trying to figure it out and finally being able to do so against the worst team in the league. Correct, yeah. We know what we are. We are a lottery team, and we're not trying to pretend to be something that we're not. So, you know, we had a couple bad games against that team, but the fact that that was a back and forth games, both of those games against the Predators, is wild, to say the least. They did end up winning both, but
those were two game of the season candidates too. Those were unreal hockey games.
Yeah, like they were exciting.
Basement teams, you have a 5-1 comeback.
Yeah.
And then the Sharks were trailing by 3 goals at one point, ended up tying it up, and then it was crazy.
It was a great toilet bowl game. Like, truly just battle of the shits. But it was, like you said, it was still entertaining for the most part. Great comeback. And the Sharks kind of made a comeback in the second game, too. Played them pretty much back-to-back, like, two-day break. But enough of that. Sharks, you know, we know what we are. We're here to get our talent, you know, developed and get a couple more picks along the way. So that's what we're going to be doing. But we got an exciting episode. We have a insane blockbuster trade of the year, trade of the honestly last couple years.
I can't remember. You think of anything? One.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of something that would top this trade. If you don't know about the trade, then you're either living under a rock or you come to us for news, and that's what we're here to give you today. We'll get into that a little bit later, but first things first, Alan, how was your week?
My week was pretty good, actually. I got zero complaints. We won our hockey game on Tuesday. Good game. We're on a 3-game heater. Men's league, we're coming for you, everybody. Not too much else happened. Just worked, hung out, had a good time.
How's the puppy?
Puppy's doing good. He's currently hanging out in his crate. He had a 5-hour play date with my girlfriend's dog yesterday. And he woke up this morning and he was still extremely tired. So he's been pretty chillax. Yeah. No complaints. Good boy.
Yeah. That's all you can ask for out of a dog. Yep. As long as he's good. We had a pretty fun game, I would say. It wasn't not really a comeback. We were always in the lead, but it definitely got close. There were some words exchanged with people. A couple of the guys just did not, on the other team, were not having it. I just remembered something. So it was the play. There was a play where I don't know who it was, but someone either like cross-checked someone in the back on the other team. And it was just kind of like maybe a little cheap shot had happened against a guy on the other team from our team doing it. One of our defensemen, Levi, steps out onto the ice off the bench. The whistle is blown. And the kid that whatever this happened to looked at our bench and was like, "Who did that? Who was that? Who was that?" And just like kept saying that. And Levi was like, "Oh, it was me." And the dude like got all pissed off on him. But clearly Levi was like walking out of the door on the bench.
Yeah.
And the guy, I guess, believed him, which was funny to me. But
I miss when I'm in net. We go to tournaments. Levi is one of the funniest dudes you will ever meet. Mm-hmm. For you guys watching, Levi barely talks. He's very quiet. He's married. He has a young daughter. Super cool dude, but he is like a quiet guy. Every single word that comes out of his mouth is hilarious. He's one of the funniest people I ever met.
Yeah.
And I miss that kind of stuff when I'm in net. Like, you guys are saying funny stuff, and I'm just sitting back there talking to myself.
True.
It's pretty upsetting.
Yeah, we need to get you like a walkie-talkie to the bench. A little headset.
Yeah, a little headset and a helmet. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, you can just talk to us. You'd be like, hey,
talk shit with the boys. Yeah. I've always seen... I want to get one of those and also one of the beer helmets. I don't know if you've ever seen that, where they eat the two beers on top.
No way.
Drinking mid-play. That'd be sick.
Like with a goalie helmet?
Yeah. There's like one famous picture of some guy wearing it. I don't know if he's in the NHL, the AHL, if he was playing beer league or what, but it was hilarious.
Well, we need to get you that once we get that that signing bonus for winning the championship.
Hell yeah.
All that bonus money we don't make anything. I'm kidding. No. But yeah, that was it was a fun game. We're on a 3-game heater, like you said, and I think we all know it's your beard. Alan's been growing out the beard the last 3 weeks. We have not lost a game. We're recording this on Monday. We have a game tomorrow. So hopefully that's still the case. It will be.
We've been on fire, like the color of my facial hair.
Yes.
Bright orange. I got those weird genetics because my hair is like, I didn't even like dirty blonde. And then I have just bright red facial hair. It's kind of hard to see honestly, on camera.
Yeah, I kind of have something similar. When it gets longer, it's usually a lot more, especially in the sun.
Yeah.
In the sun, my get, like, you can really tell. I think it's probably Irish. I don't know what that is.
No that idea.
From that. Yeah. Not an expert in genetics, but if anyone knows and watching why that's the case, please let us know in the comments. Yeah. Let us know what question. Why is Alan's beard red, but his hair is blonde? Answer that, please.
Some genetic modification.
Yeah.
I don't even know. No. Gene mutation. I got some fucked up learned. In my genes. Yeah. I got bright orange facial hair. Not fun.
Yeah. Couple fucked up things in your genes. Yeah.
Hey, man. you start talking about my nose, I swear to God.
No. You said it, not me.
I'm in a year. Holy, what a nose.
Speaking of that, go follow us on Instagram, TikTok, all that stuff, so you can see those comments that we're talking about. We had a clip go somewhat viral, like viral on our standards. And it was talking about the potential Gordie Howe goalie hat trick we could have had.
A missed opportunity.
Yeah, missed opportunity we had. And surprisingly, it was all the comments were full of love. So it was good to see on the internet. Usually it's all just hate when something goes viral, but that was a good feeling. So go join that. Go join that talking point. But we're going to move on to some NHL news. We have a lot to cover, but we picked a couple of things just for the sake of time. We want to get in depth in some of this stuff, especially this trade. First things first, though, Team Canada for the Four Nations tournament coming up. And actually, the next couple of weeks, we'll be doing an episode here soon. Which, speaking of which, our old host Galley might come back for a little special return episode. He's got a break, I think, during that time in his job. So he'll join. That's probably next week. And we'll be talking about the Four Nations. Anyways, really quick. Alex Pietrangelo is announced. I wish he was
I'm dropping out of Team Canada. Sorry, guys. I have an injury.
Yes. Well, we both declined the invitation from Team USA to go to the Four Nations tournament. I know we're not in the NHL. We didn't tell you guys. We have secret contracts, actually, with the NHL. We just don't play. We're hurt. I'm working through an injury. So that's why I haven't ever played a game. It's just, I have a contract ready when I'm good, but
yep. I don't know. When I'm ready to go.
Yeah. I just, I'm rehabbing in beer league. So yeah.
What a conditioning stint.
Yeah. Conditioning stint. That's what you call it. Alex Petrangelo is sitting out due to injury. Unfortunate timing for him with the tournament being next week. But we're going to talk about who could be a potential replacement. Alan, who do you think are some good potential replacements for Dowdy?
There's a couple guys. That broke the news.
Yeah. There's good replacements for Alex Petrangelo.
There's a couple of guys. I think Drew Dowdy would be kind of a good... Petrangelo, is at this point of his career more of a veteran presence, right? He's not Alex Petrangelo from the Cup winning 2019 Blues, right? Yeah. He's still a very good player. Don't get me wrong. And he's like 34, 35, something like that. But he is, I think, by far and away the oldest guy on that back end. Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. He's the oldest guy besides, I think, Shane Theodore would be the next closest guy. Devon Toews. But more of like a veteran kind of presence. So I think Drew Doughty might be a good replacement for him in kind of like showing the locker room how to win and whatnot, bringing in a little bit more age and experience in the locker room. And he's still playing at a very high level. A couple names I saw thrown around on the internet. Evan Bouchard was left off. I saw Oilers fans with mixed opinions. Some of them were like, yes, get Bouch on there. And the other half were like, I swear to God, if you put Bouchard on this team, I will lose my shit because he's terrible. It was funny how much of a 50-50 it was.
Yeah.
Saw a few comments about Mackenzie Weegar. They have a lot of, obviously Canada has a very deep pool of players to pick from. With over, I think it's 40% of the NHL still coming from Canada. So they really have everybody to pick from. There's a bunch of guys. I think if I were picking the team, looking through the guys that they're currently bringing, they have Cale Makar, Josh Morrissey, Colton Parayko, Travis Sanheim, Shea Theodore, and Devon Toews. Besides Colton Parayko and Travis Sanheim, they don't have any guys who are really going to bring a big physical element to the game, which is where I think Mackenzie Weegar might be a good fit there because he's kind of a two-way do-it-all guy. He'll beat you up. He'll score points. I think that might be the best pick out of the three that I brought up, at least, that we brainstormed together. But I don't know. What's your opinion on there?
I think out of all of them, Drew Doughty is the only one you pick based on his leadership skills, and he's also a veteran presence. He knows what it takes to win gold for Canada. He's done it before.
Yeah.
I want to say he a captain on one of those gold medal teams, or like assistant captain?
It would be an assistant. I think Sib was the captain for both teams.
Yeah. He was never the captain, assistant captain. One of them, anyway, like he would be the perfect, he's a competitor. I think this tournament is going to be way better than the All-Star game. Like truly sitting down when they first announced it, I was like, I was excited, but I was like, why are you taking away the All-Star game? Like the All-Star game's just a staple in all sports, but you look at it, the All-Star games just are not competitive anymore. No one cares. But you put your country's, letters or names, logos on the front of your jersey. Every single player is going to care now. That's the most exciting thing for me. And I think Doughty's going to be a great competitor for them if they do end up picking him.
You brought up a great point there, which is why I find Petrangelo sitting out so strange, is guys love playing for their country. It's like the pinnacle of hockey was Olympic hockey for the longest time, at least when I was growing up. It's best on best, country on country, right? And you see guys sit out of the All-Star game all the time, which is why I think nobody really cares about it, is it's not really the best players in the league. You have to have a player at least from each team. And like you get guys in there every year that you're like, yeah, these guys are really good hockey players. I remember Brock Nelson last year, which I think he went pretty far in the accuracy challenge, which is just kind of funny that I'm bringing him up. But you get guys like that where you're like, he's a great NHL player, but is he really an all-star? I don't think so. So I think that kind of waters down the whole all-star thing. So I thought it would be a pretty cool idea when they brought this out to have it be a best-on-best tournament of countries. So I really do find it pretty shocking that there are players sitting out doing due to injury. And I guarantee you, Pietrangelo probably won't be the only guy. We're still a couple weeks out on that. I can almost guarantee there's going to be a couple more guys drop out. So
yeah,
I find that pretty interesting. If you got invited to a USA Hockey Olympic camp, I don't think you're missing out due to a small ankle injury.
I wouldn't know.
Yeah, hell no.
Because
I'm playing in a boot. I don't care.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so Pietrangelo, it's an ankle injury, as much as they'll disclose. But, yeah, I mean, it is definitely weird to be, like, I mean, maybe this means they're going to keep on doing it, which I hope they do. Or maybe make it every 2 years. I don't know what they're going to do.
Yeah.
I don't think you should make it every year because, World Juniors is every year. But you get new kids all the time.
Yeah.
So
I feel like it'd get boring after a while watching the same, because realistically it's going to take time for, you know, young guys to really crack like a Canada or USA roster.
Yeah.
So you're going to see, especially with the rosters that both these teams have, you're going to see the same rosters get put out year in, year out.
What they could be doing is, so it's 2025 right now. The Winter Olympics are in 2026, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
This could just be a test for the Olympics because they're playing in 2026 now. And maybe they're going to do it every time before the Olympics happen. Yeah, because they wouldn't do it next year because next year is going to be the Olympics.
Yeah.
So I kind of like that. You get it back-to-back years, I guess. These teams get to find out who they're going to want to send to whenever the Olympics are, 2026. I mean, we'll see what they end up doing. But, yeah, I think it's definitely weird. We'll see who else sits out. And I'm surprised they don't have reserve players. Like, I don't know.
I watched a clip of, oh, goodness, why am I forgetting his name? USA Hockey's coach. It's Minnesota's GM. Or it's USA Hockey's GM. I'm totally drawing a blank on his name, but it's the GM of the U.S. team, and he was talking about how they could only bring 23 guys, and there are guys left off the U.S. team, like Cole Caulfield, Tage Thompson, who people are like, they're shoo-ins for the roster, and he's like, well, it's because it's only a 23-man roster. If Bill we Guerin? Had 24, 25, huh?
Bill Guerin? Does that ring a bell?
Yes. Yeah. It's Bill Guerin. Sorry, I was completely drawing a blank there, but I watched the whole clip. He had an interview. This was months ago. This was like right after they released the rosters.
Yeah.
And it was still that whole controversy about Caulfield and Thompson being left off. And it's just because of how many guys they could bring.
Yeah.
But I do find it interesting if they're going to let guys drop out willy-nilly, or if that there's guys who, you know, if they have a minor injury, they're going to sit out of it. I find it interesting they weren't allowed to bring a couple extra guys. But
Yeah, it is a little, who knows? And I'm sure like injuries will happen within the tournament too. So,
oh, absolutely.
Yeah. But yeah, one thing I actually wanted to bring up was it's kind of off, not off topic, it's still on topic, but it's not actual real life. It is the video game NHL 25. Mm-hmm. They released a game mode for the Four Nations tournament. And if you rewind about a month or so ago, me and Alan talked about the Four Nations rosters, and we ranked them. We said Team USA number one, Sweden number two, Canada three, Finland four. You had said that Canada and Finland are pretty, but maybe, yeah. So in the game, I saw that each team had an overall based on the NHL players that are in the game who are on the roster, formulated an overall for this team. USA is a 99 overall, baby. 99. Sweden is a 97. Canada's in 96 and Finland's in 92. But Canada being third is huge because we said it, and I think most people agreed with us, except for the Canadians. Now, look, I know this is a video game. This is not real life, and I'm not saying that that's going to be what it is. But we did kind of call it.
I'd like to defend myself from comments that we might get if this gets clipped. I don't play NHL. I have not owned an NHL video game since NHL 23. I did not put all the players on a roster and just see what the overalls were and go, yeah, USA is going to be the best. Sweden's going to be second best. No, I don't play NHL. I have an Xbox One S that I haven't turned on in a long time. So I don't want to hear those comments.
Yeah,
this is all straight off the dome. And guess what? EA is right there with me. Whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, I don't know, but I'll take that.
I think EA for the NHL division, I think they're based out of Canada. So they're all Canadians up there.
Interesting. And
I think I'm just guessing because it's hockey and I've just assuming. But yeah, we're not going to take a video game's word for it, but trending wise, overalls, those players, they're scouted pretty hard. You have debates on, what dude is overall for what, but at the end of the day, we called it. That's all I'm going to say.
I agree.
We're going to let the USA hockey speak for itself. So they'll see it. Also, the jerseys are so cool. Oh,
I haven't even seen the jerseys. I've not looked.
You should, because they're clean. Specifically talk about USA. They're just beautiful. But yeah, so we're going to move on. We have a bit of a rumor mill going around on Twitter. And
I did see them. They're gross.
Yeah. The day leading up to the monster trade of Rantanen, there was some tweets. And if you want to share that, you have the floor.
So there was a big tweet put out. Quite cryptic, didn't say anything. But Kevin Weeks tweeted a photograph of the Pittsburgh skyline, right? With the like eyeball emoji, like the side eye, right? Frank Saravalli then replied to that tweet, saying something along the lines of a very credible source stated that in the past 48 hours, the trade that we'll get to in a minute was not the biggest offer on the table. Replying to the tweet of the Pittsburgh skyline, which in my mind only goes to one place, that there was an offer on the table, assuming from Colorado, for Mika Rantanen, for Sidney Crosby. That's where my mind immediately went seeing that, which I find very interesting. We were discussing a possible Crosby trade. This is like the second or third week that we recorded this season. And
we said Colorado.
Get him out, Colorado. Be with his buddy Nate Mack. And now there was some sort of offer on the table, given it could have been for like an Evgeny Malkin. Yeah. I have a feeling the NHL media.
It is. Yeah.
Nobody knows. Nobody's released what the trade was or what the offer was. I could see the NHL media still really hyping up like an Erik Karlsson trade. But I don't think Kevin Weeks and Frank Saravalli would make that big of a deal over Erik Karlsson or Evgeny Malkin at the stages in their career where they're saying it's a bigger trade than Mika Rantanen, which we'll get to in a second. But so that kind of leaves the idea in my head that there was a trade offer for Sid. That was at least somewhat considered.
Because
I'm sure, I'm sure there's stupid spitball trades thrown around all the time for Connor McDavid. Like, hey, how many first rounders does it take, right?
Yeah.
But that makes me think there was a serious offer put in from Colorado for Sid, which is really interesting.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
Or vice versa.
Yeah. I wonder how many spitball trade offers are like if any GM want to come on and talk to us, any NHL general managers want to talk to us.
We need to talk to Mike Greer and see what kind of offers he's made. He's like, listen. I'll give you Mario Ferraro in a first round pick for Nathan McKinnon. Thoughts? I wonder if he's thrown any of those
immediate,
out there.
Immediate dial tone. Just
a bait. Nope. Just seeing what I get.
Yeah. Maybe the off chance you get a yes. Who knows? You never know.
Who knows?
With this shark, the way the Sharks are performing this year, that first round pick is mighty tasty. It's
going to be valuable.
Yeah. So, anyways, but
let's get on.
We're going to get into the biggest trade in recent memory for me and Alan. So I'm going to show all you guys watching. If you're listening, don't worry. I will follow along, or you can also, you'll be able to hear, the thing here. One sec. I am going to pull it up and then we'll get right back to it. All right. We're back really quick. Look how fast that was. Did you blink? Did you miss it?
It was magic.
Yeah, it was magic. All right, so right here I have on screen the trades. And shout out to Puckpedia for making this a lot simpler than it has to be. Three-team trades can always get kind of crazy like this. So the Hurricanes got Mikko Rantanen at $4.6 million for this year. Also got Taylor Hall for his full $6 million. A prospect named Juntorp. Don't know his first name. Don't even know if I'm saying his last name right. We're not going to really talk about him, but he is 21 years old. And yeah, that's about all as I know. Out for the Canes, Martin Natchez at a $6.5 million contract. Drury as well, $1.7 million. 2025 second, a 2025 third, a 2026 fourth. So they added about $2.4 million to their cap hit. And I'm sure there's going to be more to come. Trade deadline isn't even close yet. I'm sure there'll be plenty more that's going to be just washed around. These teams are going to be moving a lot. In for the Avalanche, Natchez, $6.5 million, that full contract. Drury as well, the 2025 second and a 2026 fourth. Out for them, Mika Rantanen, all of his whole contract, $9.25 million. They saved around $1 million in cap space. I have something interesting about them, which I'll get into after, just how much space they have. Blackhawks, yeah. In 2025, third round pick, and they retained $4.6 million from Rantanen. But going out is Taylor Hall. This whole contract, $6 million, and that rookie that we talked about. So they saved around $1.3 million in cap space. We're going to break it down by team who, you know, like just what their situation is looking at now after these trades have happened. So easiest one, Blackhawks. Obviously, they were shopping Hall. They were looking for trades for, you know, the last couple months. I'm sure the minute they signed him, they knew that he was going to be a piece that they're going to move. So they say they got a little bit more money in cap space. The Blackhawks right now are obviously just tanking and developing, trying to find something for Bedard. So they take on Rantanen's salary for a year and they get a free, well, not free, but a third round pick, and, you know, used Hall in some of that. Do you have anything else on the Blackhawks and what they were maybe doing there?
I mean, I think it's smart. I'm assuming Taylor Hall's contract was pretty much unmovable at this point. He's making $6 million and he's on pace for 42 points this year, which is not market value for a 42 point guy. I know he won the Hart and everything, had that amazing season 2017, but,
well, if you want to compare it, Hall, Natchez makes $500,000 more dollars than him.
Yeah.
And Natchez is on pace for 92 points. So
yeah. it's one of those things. It's like, get rid of that contract, which it doesn't seem like he's really done that much to help out with Bedard. Mm-hmm. Again, he's only on pace for 42 points. He's not really pitching in that much. I don't even know. I don't think they're playing on the same line. Like, there's no point in paying that guy. You could save cap space, maybe sign a guy in the offseason that'll help a little more. And you get a third round pick out of it. I mean, if you think about it, that third round pick, I believe, came from Carolina. Doesn't really matter who it comes from, because both of these teams are playoff teams. And I think both of their goals is to go deep in the playoffs this season.
Yeah.
So it'll probably be closer to a fourth round pick, but it's a free pick just for taking on some contract for a season.
Yeah. And not getting rid of a player that is just not really, you know, needed. The Blackhawks are just kind of here to play the game and get a pick out of it.
Yep.
Now for we'll do the Avalanche last, cause I feel like they have the most impact. Hurricanes. Yep. They honestly, like, this is clearly a good trade for them. You're getting Mikko Rantanen. I don't know exactly what their cap space is. Rest in peace, cap friendly.
Who bought it out? Was the Sabres or the Predators? Capitals. It was the Capitals.
Capitals bought it out, yeah.
Why did you do that?
Smart. What the heck? But there's going to be some other, there's going to be some other website soon that can do
it'd
that.
It'd be smart to buy it and then continue to operate it and get ad revenue from it.
No, because they want to use it. They want to use it for themselves and only them and not for other teams. But it affects the little man. So, yeah, it's messed up. Yeah. Anyways, back to the Avs. Or no, Hurricanes. They just added a rock star. Mikko Rantanen, especially for this year. You know, the Canes last year got Jake Guentzel on a one-year deal, used him, and lost him. It's a use-and-lose situation. Mikko Rantanen, I want to say, is leaning more towards signing with them, I believe.
Yep, I saw that on Twitter. I forget. I saw it somewhere.
Yeah, it's looking like he will actually stay with them. So this is not just one of those things where they're trying to use him as a piece and they want him. So overall, good for them. Natchez is a great player. He's having a great year. And it's one of those things where the Avs were kind of with their hands tied, which we'll get into in a second. You know, they're adding some caps, but
I've also seen some rumors floating around. I don't know about the truthfulness of this because most of my NHL information comes off of Twitter. So I don't know how accurate this was, but I saw somewhere that Natchez had stated that it was like a 50-50 on whether or not he planned on staying with the Canes.
Okay. Yeah.
So if you think about it, you take in a guy who's coming off back-to-back 100-point-plus seasons.
Yep.
He had 105 points 2 years ago and then 104 points last season. One of those he scored 55 goals in. And he's on pace again for 105 points with 40-plus goals.
Yeah.
You're bringing in – I think he's borderline a superstar.
Yeah.
Like one of the, he's top 15 players in the NHL.
Easily.
And I keep seeing people floating around the idea that he's a MacKinnon merchant, that he gets all of his points from MacKinnon. And I see him as kind of like a Leon Draisaitl type, right? Which is one of the reasons why he was unable to come to terms with Colorado, which we'll get into in a minute. Because that Draisaitl contract, he got so much money, and Rantanen's looking at it like, I'm the exact same player, almost identical.
Yeah.
Except with more skill.
Yeah.
But I find it really interesting. You got a guy that's, you know, a 100-plus point guy. You now have your offensive superstar that I feel like the Canes have been lacking, which has really kind of taken a draw on them the last few seasons.
Yeah.
And if he's willing to re-sign with you, and all you had to do is get rid of Martin Natchez, I don't see that as a bad thing at all.
No. And only adding $2.4 million to the cap.
Yeah.
Out of all that. I mean, obviously it's, you know, they're going to have to re-sign him next year and it's not going to be the case. But still, like, you're only adding a little bit. And most of that is Taylor Hall, who they're probably going to figure out a way how to get out of that contract too.
Yeah.
You know, they gave up some picks, but again, Carolina is like, not that they're in win now mode, but they've been a great team, but they just cannot get it done. And we've talked about this before. They look a lot like the Sharks when we were kids growing up.
They're the 2010 Sharks is what the Carolina Hurricanes have become, which is not – it's a good place to be. It's not what you want, though.
No. You need to make – and if we've never – I mean, outside of Joe Thornton, but we've never had a trade like this coming in at that time, a player like Mika Rantanen. Like, Rantanen is, like you said, top 15 easily in the NHL. And I think it will be interesting, him not playing with MacKinnon. I'm curious to see how he plays. He is a good friend of Sebastian Aho, though.
Yeah. You have to play with Sebastian Aho. Life sucks. Life is really bad.
Yeah. And Rantanen, like, there's some things I saw. I was watching a Steve Dangle video. Shout out to him. He broke down Steve that. He's awesome. The year that the Avs won the Cup, in I think it was like 25 games, Rantanen had 20 assists. Mm-hmm. And you look at that and you're like, oh, he's a playmaker. And then the next season he goes out and scores 55 goals.
Yeah.
And then follows that up with 45. So it's like, this guy is a legit rock star, superstar in the NHL. And you know, he's probably living a little bit under MacKinnon's shadow. So I'm excited to see him play in Carolina, see what this team is made of. But yeah, do you have anything else on the Canes?
I don't have too much else on the Canes. They brought in Hall, depth scorer. Like, he'll probably be somewhere on the third line.
A prospect. Watch, this prospect that we're just ignoring is like going to be the next.
Watch him be the best player out of this trade, like out of any of the guys.
In 5-10 years.
We skipped over the Blackhawks third round pick. Watch it turn into the next like superstar. It's just going to be some guy who, you know, grew up playing. He's playing like in the BCHL or something like that.
Yeah.
And he's going to be the next Cale Makar. Just watch. But speaking who knows?
Cale Makar. This is the biggest reason why the Avs had to let go of Mika Rantanen. Yeah. So if you're finished up with the Canes, we can move on to the Avalanche. But realistically, this salary cap is going up, correct? Like you had said, Leon Draisaitl signed for 14 mil. And, you know, Mika Rantanen easily could have gotten that for what he's worth. But the Colorado Avalanche cannot afford that because they have to pay Nathan MacKinnon already as it is. What's he making? 12.5?
I want to say it's something like that. It's 12.6 or something stupid. Yeah.
Over the course of the next couple of years too. But someone who's creeping up is Cale Makar. Cale Makar needs to get paid. And as an Avalanche fan, if you're looking at it, you got to think, do you keep Mika Rantanen or do you keep Cale Makar? Because you can't keep both in this day and age. And you have Nathan MacKinnon, who is, I think, the second best player in the league. And you got a great forward and you got a great defense. Like, keep those two. You have to keep those two. And you got to get Rantanen you either let Rantanen walk away or you get something in return. And the Avalanche also are not where they probably want to be in the standings right now. So do they risk that? And I mean, I don't think they're going to miss the playoffs, but potentially miss playoffs. And then you lose Rantanen. And then like, think of it in long-term play. They got a second round pick this coming draft. Second round picks are great players. Fourth rounder in the next draft after that. Marty Natchez is a great player as well. I mean, he had a hot start to the season. He's on a 92-point pace. He's a rock star. He's also a quick player. So now you got two fast-ass players on the team. How about you?
Pardon me. I think you brought up a fantastic point in bringing up Cale Makar. So I was just looking at it. Cale Makar's contract expires in 2026, 2027, right? Quinn Hughes' contract also expires in 2026, 2027. They're both making, Nears makes no difference, 9 mil when he was on like 8.5 a year, right? Those two contracts, I think, are going to completely reset how defensive contracts are looked at in the NHL. Yeah. Yeah. I would not be surprised if Cale Makar is the highest paid player in the NHL in two seasons.
Yep.
And they're going to have to sign an extension this upcoming year if they want to keep him for the full 8 seasons, which I can almost guarantee you Colorado wants to, right?
Yeah.
You're not going to have the space to re-sign as much as you need to, right? You're not going to have the space to re-sign a Mika Rantanen. And that was shown. They are either looking to save money building up to that contract, or they just literally cannot afford it and keep a team around. So I think getting a guy in like Natchez who can help your kind of secondary scoring, I think you can put anybody around Nathan MacKinnon and they're going to be successful. Yeah. I as well think he's probably the second best player in the NHL. I think at times this season and last season, he's looked better than Connor McDavid.
Yeah.
Which might be a hot take, but he won the Hart last year. I believe he's leading the league in scoring again, unless that phony Leon Draisaitl is still up there. it's one of those situations where it's a bad situation to be in because you have too many good players. You drafted too well, you did too good of a job.
Yeah.
And now you have to deal with the repercussions. Keep in mind I think they got Rantanen at 17 overall.
True. Yeah.
You drafted too well. And now you have to deal with either having zero depth because you can't afford it because you have three guys making $15 million. Or making 12 plus, right? Or you let go one of them and try and build a team around him. And I think Marty Natchez is a good kind of medium. As he sits right now, yes, his kind of capital is taken off this season. But before that, his best season, I believe, was 67 points in the NHL. I think we had talked about this on a previous episode. I think you can get that guy for kind of a steal. I think you could probably sign him long-term at 9 mil. Maybe 9.5 mil. They'll probably want a whole lot, but we've talked about this also earlier in the season. The difference between NHL players talent-wise is this much, right? These guys are all extremely, extremely talented and in the right situation. Huh?
Yeah, what about Leon Draisaitl?
Fuck you. No. These guys are all extremely talented, right?
Yeah.
They're all the best at what they do. You look at the worst player in the NHL, he's an extremely talented hockey player. Mm-hmm. Leon Draisaitl. put any guy in a prime position, he's going to succeed. Going from a Rantanen to a Natchez and saving yourself $5 million a season, I think is the way to go every single time.
Yep.
And you get a guy back, Jack Drury, who's going to be, he's the younger guy, I believe, in the Canes bottom six. Now he's a younger guy in the Avs bottom six, and I'm sure he will be for, you know, next years to come. And you save money for a Makar signing.
Yeah.
I think both teams, this is one of those trades, ignoring the Blackhawks. Although I think you could say this for the Blackhawks too.
Yeah.
I think all three teams won this trade in a certain way.
Yeah. On surface, I would say on surface level, you look at it and you look at the Avs and say, you just lost Mika Rantanen and you got Martin Natchez, Jack Drury, and a second overall pick and second round pick and a fourth round pick. But when you think about it long term, like you had said and we had said, this makes sense. Yeah, it's not the way you want to go, but you made a great point saying that you drafted too well. You drafted great, Avalanche. Hats off to you. Now you got to retool, and they retooled pretty well. I would say they retooled pretty well. That second round pick could turn out to be a great player. Like, we've seen great players come out of the second round.
Probably also be it. Judging by how the Avs have drafted, that will probably also be a superstar.
Yeah. Right?
And they're probably going to be dominant for another 15 years, right?
Yeah.
Losing Mika Rantanen, yeah, it hurts. You know, he's a fan favorite. He's an extremely talented hockey player.
Yes.
He's, like we said, top 15 in the NHL. At minimum, I think there's an argument for top 10. What's Marty Natchez? Top 30? Like,
but
maybe not top 30 yet, but next season will probably be top 30.
Top 50? Right? Top 50?
Top 50, even. Absolutely.
That's a great player to have on your team. The Sharks do not have a top 50 player. I love Celebrini and Smith, but they're not top 50 players in the NHL.
No, God, no. It's not like you traded away Mika Rantanen and got back like a Ryan Reeves. Like, you got back Marty Natchez. He's going to put up 90 points this season.
Yeah.
Like,
and he's probably going to be playing with McKinnon. He's probably going to play with McKinnon as well. So,
power play minimum. Yep. And he's going to be, dude. Yeah. It's, I think every team won this trade, especially if the Canes can manage to re-sign Rantanen.
Yes.
That's huge for them.
Yeah.
Something they, I feel like, have been missing. I said this earlier. They've been missing it like a top scoring guy. They've had this team that's been built around defense. Obviously, for years, it seemed like they had the best defense in the NHL. Mm-hmm. And they had a very deep forward core. Sebastian Aho is fantastic as a number one guy, but he's like a more of a two-way defensive-minded center, right? He's phenomenal at that, but he's not going to go out and get you 100 points.
Yeah.
Now you have a guy that's going to go out and get you 100 points, and you still have the rest of your team. You got rid of a guy that you didn't have 3 seasons ago, and you were still competitive 3 seasons ago. You know, it's not like they're losing something that is a centerpiece of their core to get this guy. They're losing a guy that is really just now stepping into his own. So I really don't see a negative to any of the teams in this trade. This is one of the most, like, at least on the surface, evenly rounded trades I've seen in a very long time.
Yeah. I think time will tell. A lot of these trades, it's like time will tell. And the hard part is we're not going to really be able to look back on it until it's like years down the line. So, but I mean, I think for what it's worth, it's a great trade. I do feel horrible for Nathan MacKinnon and Mika Rantanen. I think it was a blindsided trade a little bit. And again, this is a business. I think these players know that, but I don't like that excuse that it's a business. I mean, it's these dudes' lives. And I think from what they've sacrificed and done for the programs, these teams, there's some respect that needs to be owed to these players. You know, I don't think you can just write it off like, oh, it's a business. Like, this stuff happens, real world, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I get that. But they're still humans. And a quote from Mika Rantanen said, "I don't want to talk exact numbers, but I was willing to take a significant cut below my market value. That's why this trade was such a shock to me." Now, how low is that under market value? Probably still in the double digits for number wise. And I don't think the Avs could swing it unless he was willing to make $8 or $9 million a year, which you cannot ask at a Mika Rantanen. He's a fantastic player.
I did see that he was offered, that there was speculation around an offer at like $11 million, and he didn't accept. Which, if you're Mika Rantanen and you see Leon Draisaitl sign for $14 million, right, or whatever it was, 13 something. That's what I'm expecting to get paid. I'm expecting to probably get paid a little more than that.
Yeah.
Because I'm better than Leon Draisaitl. That guy's a fucking pylon, right? I can see why, you know, if you're talking like, I got offered $11 million, I'm willing to take $12.5 million to re-sign. I think I'm worth $14.5-15 million, right? But I'm willing to take $12.5 million. That's a significant cut.
Yeah.
But the Avs can't afford to have three guys in 2 years, but three guys making over $12 million. Yeah. Like, that's just not feasible.
It's not. And that's totally okay. That's part of hockey. And it's, the sport is growing, which is a good thing. You know, players are being able to get paid more. And yeah, I mean, I think Nathan MacKinnon was pretty upset about it too. I don't remember his exact quote. I didn't write it down, but
yeah, watch the clip. He looks like he was about to cry.
Yeah, and I mean that's a real thing. Like, it's his one of his great friends. Oh, one thing I forgot to mention about the Avalanche before we send it off. The Avalanche now have enough cap space to reactivate Gabriel Landeskog off of IR.
LTI. Do they?
Yes, I believe so.
Interesting.
So, do they have a card up their sleeve where they're like, well, we're going to get Landeskog back?
There's been videos floating around of him skating for like the last 6 months.
Yeah, he's been rehabbing and like, you know, he's had a long time off, but he's been rehabbing. It's not like he's just farting around sitting on his thumb. So could be a potential thing in the future. And, you know, if they do end up, you know, if Landeskog doesn't end up coming back, then they still have all that space to potentially get someone else. So who knows? And I'm sure that we'll see a Mark Stone injury here soon in the next couple months. So
I'm calling that. We're a little late for the yearly Mark Stone injury.
February.
Or is that that happens in March, I thought.
He gets injured mid-February, I want to say.
He's going to get injured during the Four Nations tournament, be out until game one of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Yep.
Thoughts? Yeah, he's going to want to play in that tournament. It'll be like the last 4 minutes of Canada's, you know, 6-1 loss to the U.S. in the semifinals, right?
Yeah.
I'm calling it now. I don't know if that's actually going to happen. I don't think it will, but he'll get injured 2 minutes left, and then he's out right up until day one Stanley Cup playoffs and their whatever their first round matchup is against the worst team in the Pacific. Yeah, that's going to be a fun time. We called it.
Yeah, we did. We're calling it prematurely because we know it's going to happen. It's February, the season of love and the season of Mark Stone getting injured for a long time off of a bruised knee. So, but spicy stuff. Great, great to have. I mean, you know, we've been kind of hoping for some blockbusterness this season, and we haven't really got it till now. I'm sure it's going to heat up. Yeah. It's still going to get hot. Especially come that trade deadline's always just a fun day. I think it's on like a Friday. Mm-hmm. Ooh, you know it'd be fun. You don't work on Fridays, do you?
Nope.
You know what we should do is on if trade deadline day is a Friday, you and I do a live stream all day. Not all day, but like the time leading up, like 10 a.m.
16-hour live stream.
No, we'll have to see whenever it closes. And we can do some like live reactions, talks.
I want to say I think that'd be fun. 12 Eastern
is when it closes?
What it is. If my memory from NHL 14 GM mode serves me properly, I want to say it's like 12 o'clock Eastern.
Yeah, let's see.
Midday.
Is the trade deadline closed for the NHL? Let's see. Trade deadline this year closes at 3 p.m. Eastern on March 7th.
12 Pacific. March 7th.
It might not be March 7th. It's a Friday. All right, book it.
Book it.
So 3 p.m. Eastern is 1 p.m. our time. So if we did like from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., maybe do like 11 to 1, something like that. We can just do a live stream and get some live reactions. I remember last year watching, I think it was Spit and Chicklets, and it was, I saw the Tomáš Hertl trade live. I was at work and really? I yelled at the top of my lungs, and the clients in the room were like, they thought that someone just died.
I remember I was at work and I called my dad immediately after it happened. And he was pretty upset. I'm like, honestly, I'm not too mad. I don't really care. And then that turned into Yaroslav Askarov.
Oh, yeah.
I'm pretty happy.
I was happy with it. It was just like one of those things where it's like to give it to Vegas of all teams.
Yeah.
For Hurdle to go to Vegas was just something that really irked my soul. If he went anywhere else, I'd be like, I mean, I'm still happy for him.
I want to say he's second or third on their team in points right now, too, which that frightens me. I wish he sucked. Good for him.
No, I hope.
I love you, Thomas.
Yeah,
fun we love must you. Be always.
Yes, fun must be always. But with that being said, everyone, thank you for listening. We got the Four Nations tournament coming up. I believe that'll be next week's episode, unless I'm getting my dates mixed up. But we'll see you guys next week. Alan, I will see you tomorrow at our game. And everyone, have a blessed week. We love you. Goodbye.